So I was looking at your email on So which specific portion of the application is this? Is it the proposed research?
Is the proposed research. I
Okay.
think the other ones it just require some updates. This is what's completely new.
Right. So the existing research would also incur an update with respect to this, the write caching work, right?
Yes, I have to update that and of course remove some of the technical details. I use that space to say to tie that to this or to this what we're proposing here, and I'm talking more about how this is useful in
Right.
terms that people can understand.
The one thing which you want to do is to refer to the software persistent memory paper, but also to this new submission. So you write the as an actual reference and say you have submitted it to CAS 2013 conference.
Okay.
I think it's important for the reviewer to know that there is some work that has already gone into it, and there is a paper that has, at least some preliminary draft does exist. Okay. So first of all, let's maybe have you tell me what you think is a possible direction for you that you could talk about in this application, based on our previous discussion, of course.
Right. First, let me make sure that I understand what the problem is and what the solution that we're proposing. So the problem is that the amount of data that businesses and organizations are handling now, it's increasing. I mean, it's at the moment it's very large and it's continuously increasing. I remember reading some reference that the rate at which it's increasing is exponential, close to it. So the way people are handling that problem, or the way storage systems are configured, most of the time it's remote, meaning that the user no longer have the data that users use or access to is not locally stored, but remotely stored.
Right.
There are some benefits associated with that, meaning that it's easier to handle, to administer, since the data is always shared and available.
Right. And just to clarify, by remote you do not mean off-site. You mean in the same data center somewhere sitting on the network
Right.
that's accessible
Yes.
from any host
Yes.
over the network.
The downside associated with it is that you have to spend more money in infrastructure, meaning you have to buy dedicated computers just to store information. And since all that is in a specific location, you have to have more dedicated links of the network just to access the data. Since the scale of data that everything is in one place and the scale of that is very large, it takes specialized personnel to handle that, to administer that. It's not the same administering hundreds and hundreds of terabytes than just a local disk on your computer.
Right.
And things of that sort. So that's sort of the problem that I see with our approach.
So let me expand and bring up a few more points. The first thing is to say that conventionally storage has been managed in a centralized fashion, and storage servers have supported increasing amount of capacity. Right. This is what is the state of the art of how enterprises manage storage. That is that they buy large boxes of storage from storage companies, right? And some of these storage boxes support, adding modules, and thereby, you can grow capacity, right? So that's been the conventional approach to building storage systems. There are two trends that prompt us to kind of revisit this approach, right? The first trend is that the data requirements are growing, right? And the amount of storage that enterprises need is growing in proportion to that. and buying storage boxes is an expensive proposition, as storage is becoming a significant fraction of the capital cost because of this trend. So that's something to address. And the capital cost concern is something to address. The second is that the storage technologies themselves are changing, and now we have new flash-based storage. These flash-based storage devices provide better performance, and there are new companies such as Fusion.io that allow attaching large amounts of very high-speed storage locally within the host itself. So in terms of the I/O throughput and I/O operations per second demands, this technology is actually changing how storage is viewed, because you can actually now obtain huge amount of IOPS from a single host. But there are limitations to what a single host can do. The advantage, before we go into limitations, the advantage of attaching storage locally is that you get much better latencies. You're able to utilize the devices to the utmost, or the flash-based storage devices to the utmost, as opposed to accessing such devices, such high-speed devices across a network, and thereby introducing a significant additional latency to the I/O path. So that's one of the advantages. But the limitation is that with a host-based storage approach is that it doesn't scale, right? So you need to somehow scale the amount of storage your system can actually support. So the natural approach then is to, one of the things that we have done in the past is to use the host-based SSD as a caching layer in sitting in front of the conventional network-based storage, right? And that's something we've done, and you can sort of point to that as part of the previous work that you've discussed in the other document that you're going to be submitting. Right? You can talk about that, mention it in this document as well. But then the network storage is still expensive. I think one of the key points that you have to make with respect to alternatives for network storage is that it's driven by cost. It's driven by cost concerns. Network storage can be replaced with, potentially replaced with, much lower cost locally attached storage with a software-defined, or in other words, a software-defined storage layer. So there is this concept of software-defined networking already. I don't know if you're aware of that. There is this. There are products that support this new kind of management of network called OpenFlow. OpenFlow networks, where you have a set of routers in your network, and there is a software layer that dynamically configures those routers. Okay. So similarly, you can think of a software-defined storage, where you have distributed large amount of storage across hosts, multiple technologies, flash-based SSDs, disk drive-based storage as well, but there is a software layer that controls all of that storage to provide the best possible performance and capacity to end applications, right? So in some sense, the goal is to buy a sort of the Google model for storage. What is the Google model? The Google model is to buy commodity hardware, the cheapest variety, and then have really intelligent software running on top of it, doing the fault tolerance, doing the consistency and replica management and all of that. But now, for a storage layer only, right? So the Google model does it, for instance, at large scale for file systems. So you have a Google file system. They have a similar approach for building like a distributed database, which is called Bigtable, right? So in the same sense, we kind of apply the Google model of buying the cheap hardware, but connecting it with a really powerful software layer, so the drawbacks or the downsides of buying the cheap hardware that fails often is overcome by this powerful software layer. So that is kind of the space that that you could potentially explore as part of your future work. It's a software-defined storage is something that people are slowly talking about, just like software-defined networking is currently really popular. A software-defined storage is not yet mainstream, but there are people who are mentioning it at least.
I see. Do you think that the overall organization of the document makes sense? Like, can I?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
So, it starts by a description of the problem, then a description of how current solutions try to address the problem, and making emphasis of how it falls short.
Right. I think you need to motivate the problem and motivate the solution as well. along the lines that we just discussed, right? The motivation of the solution, which is the completely distributed storage solution, is the Google model, which is completely price based or capital expense based. Google has to scale to really huge amounts of computing requirement. So instead of buying like very high end hardware, they buy low end hardware and have significant software investment to manage all that low end hardware. So that's sort of motivating the solution. Now, that's a solution approach. What is the solution going to be? You need to give some hints about what kind of solution model you're going to look at, right? And one of the things that you can say is that with storage, now we have new types of devices which provide performance, but are capacity scarce, right? The flash-based storage devices. But then you have conventional disk drives which provide large amounts of capacity. So an ideal solution would use the best of both these technologies, right? So if you have hosts that contain either flash-based storage or disk-based storage or both, depending on the host, and you have heterogeneous hosts, how do you create a software layer that seamlessly puts together all of the resources, storage resources that are available, into a unified storage system, a virtual storage system that applications can access? An application should be able to access this storage system from any host, right? So what are the challenges there of such a storage system? So you might want to bring up some of those challenges. It's the same challenges that exist, for instance, with any kind of distributed storage system. How do you manage failures of individual devices, entire nodes, and such? One way to deal with that is redundancy. Now you could have either replication or you can have some sort of erasure coding to minimize the amount of extra space you need. Then, if you have erasure coding or replication, you need to make sure that the system is consistent. The replicas or coded solutions or coded fragments are consistent with each other, right? So then there is a consistency management layer that you need to think about, right? And then there is access control and sharing, right? What if two hosts or two instances of the application running on two different hosts want to access the same piece of data, one is writing and the other one is reading? Then you have to define what are the sharing semantics look like. And whether you want weak consistency or eventual consistency or strong consistency for all the data. Do writes immediately get propagated and do reads see the most recent version of the data, right? The performance angle, which is caching, is also critical You do not want to be going across the network for every access. You want to perform some sort of caching, and the caching needs to be dynamic. Depending on the workload, you cache data that you need for the moment, right?
The caching, just in the caching approach also, it's part of the current methodology in which you have a centralized storage system?
It is. It is part of this the same methodology. But here we are talking about caching at a different level, right? So you have, you may have to actually move the blocks, move storage or data from one node to another node because it's more used at that node. Right? So you actually use local storage. So your local storage is not static, is what I'm saying. That it could be dynamic. And then if your local storage is dynamic, then who maintains the mapping of data to storage devices? And that those sorts of questions. I think there is a lot of interesting questions, and you don't have to answer them in the proposal. You just need to bring up the questions and have some ideas as to what kind of solutions you might think of, right, at a high level.
So the only, or the, should I say, the main benefit of having this distributed storage system is just reducing the cost?
Well, largely cost, reduction of cost at the same performance, or higher performance at the same cost. Right, better performance at the same cost. Well, and you have, baselines. For instance, one baseline is that you have hosts and storage over the network. You know, even if it's flash, it's over the network. And then you have flash-based caches, which you've already worked on, right? And then you have all storage attached to host, but it's all distributed. And how do you manage that? Those are the three versions that you want to compare and say, progressively, in the evolution of storage system, this would make sense, because each step addresses one of the issues with the previous version of the solution.
So in a distributed storage system, every node only has or only hosts a very small percentage of the whole of the all the data, and the data that is hosting at the moment changes as the needs for data changes too, right? If I need data that is available in a node, eventually, if I keep using that repeatedly, it's going to migrate from that node to this node. What happens if the data that I need at the moment is not available in my node, and the node that has that data available is no longer is offline? Availability is one issue.
Right. So that the availability is more, I think what you're talking about is fault tolerance, right? So if a node goes offline, how do you ensure that the data is still reachable or accessible, writable, and such? So the answer to that is, well, what sort of fault tolerance mechanisms do you build? And typical fault tolerance mechanisms use some sort of redundancy, right, either through replication or erasure coding. Then you should be able to rebuild. For instance, if a host goes down, you reinstantiate that host, let's say, on some other host. Or if you don't have a capacity to reinstantiate, then maybe, you know, all the blocks or chunks or whatever unit of storage you're managing needs to be redistributed across the existing hosts, right? And whoever is managing the mapping of data to storage would need to update those mappings, right?
Right. And the mapping could potentially be also distributed, right?
That mapping could be distributed, yeah. You probably want to distribute the mapping to the extent that is required for load balancing and scaling performance. You don't want these mapping servers or metadata servers to become bottlenecks. Right? Those are second-level challenges that you have to address.
Would you say that such a storage system also reduce power consumption?
Yes. I think so, because you're eliminating, possibly eliminating some hardware. That is one of the potential outcomes of this distributed design. And so you no longer have a centralized storage system that must be managed. But the other challenge, by the way, is that the centralized storage systems have a very easy technique for implementing backups and snapshots and disaster recovery and so on. In a completely distributed storage solution, the software layer needs to ensure that these functionality are provided. So it's much more challenging when storage is distributed, which is why people are slowly talking about the software-defined storage, because you need a really powerful software layer if you want to make all of this happen. And you will probably have to, you'll probably end up solving a lot of really hard distributed systems problems.
So, a few years back, when we didn't have fast storage devices like current SSDs, you could argue that if you have high-end networks, then speed of the network is similar to the speed of a hard disk, which was why it didn't matter for you if you had the storage locally attached or remotely attached. So what you said, the main motivation is that now we have storage devices that if you have it attached locally, that are much faster than the network.
Hmm.
So it makes sense to have it attached locally, because
right.
If you put it behind the network, then you're not going to be able to explode its maximum throughput.
Exactly. I think that's very well put. That's really important motivation for having the flash-based storage locally attached. The caching approach does address this to some extent, right? The caching approach. But the caching approach doesn't completely eliminate network storage. You know, disk-based storage is still sitting across a network that is being shared across multiple hosts. And you still end up, paying a lot of money to make such storage not be a bottleneck.
So self-defined storage. I see. I should probably read about network defined
software-defined networks.
Just to get an idea of...
Yeah. I just heard people mentioning software-defined storage, but I don't know if there is any material online in this regard. Okay. Yeah, there are. It seems like there are some companies that do this. Okay, and there is also a Wikipedia page on that. Emerging architecture software is the next frontier for software-defined data centers. Software-defined data centers is sort of the umbrella concept here, that your data centers are going to be increasingly managed by complex layers of software, as opposed to individual pieces of hardware that have a lot of complex software in them. Like more of like a distributed software layer, as opposed to a centralized intelligent software, a piece of software. So that's what a software-defined data center means. And okay, so there is some material out there. I think people have started defining this term also. Software-defined storage. Okay, this is something about VMware. But you can look at some of the, oh, there you go. Fusion.io has something called software-defined storage as well. So you can read up on this. And if you want, maybe refer to one of these articles that define this. I think that would kind of give more credibility to what you're writing. If you say software-defined storage in quotes and put a reference and say that people are have started looking at this new model as a promising model for future storage systems, and that's really what you want to look at for your
Do you have any suggestions about how to tie this proposal to what NSF is looking for?
Mm-hmm.
For instance, let me see if I can try to. I think NSF give priority to a specific type of research, which, for instance, if what you're proposing is something that is very important for a private company, most likely a private company is going to invest on that.
No, that's a misconception.
No, it's not true.
No, it's not true. Well, the goal of NSF research is actually commercialization. I mean, research for the sake of research alone is only part of the story, and that's something that NSF values as well. But if you can say that your research is commercially very valuable, then NSF is even more excited. And if you say, okay, data centers are actually moving in this direction, but there is a lot of interesting and really hard challenges that need to be solved, and you outline or describe, maybe list some of those problems, and then say, okay, well, that's really, you know, the impact of solving these problems is huge, because these are the kinds of challenges that that enterprise data centers and industry is trying to solve for the next evolution of storage systems. I think NSF will be very excited about that. You'd certainly want to bring in, you know, all the conventional positives, which is, you know, you deliver performance, reduce the cost, reduce energy. All of that is sort of a given. If you can deliver the same or much higher performance at the same cost, what you're doing is you know, basically not just reducing cost, but also reducing energy by, and one of the reasons you reduce energy is because you're bringing in a technology that consumes much lower energy in the first place, which is flash-based storage, right? So you kind of utilizing flash not just for the performance aspect, but also for the energy aspect. You'll have to spin up 100 drives to generate the IOPS that a single flash-based SSD can provide at you know, a thousandth of the energy cost. So the energy angle is actually pretty strong in this proposal because of flash, and you can argue for that.
What would you say are the broader impacts related to this project?
Well, one broader impact is, you know, it's just the societal impact of creating a technology and answering research challenges that will allow industry to save cost, both capital as well as energy costs, and pass along those savings to the end user. Right, so the end user benefits indirectly from all the work that you do, because enterprises will be able to operate and offer services at lower costs. I think the other aspect of the broader impact in your case especially is strong because of your ethnicity, and that will, that is not directly tied to the research, but overall, as a package, when NSF looks at the application, it looks at the applicant itself. And it has to be absolutely clear, you know, what your ethnicity is. I think those are the two angles. One is from a purely research standpoint, and the other is from an applicant ethnicity standpoint, make the broader impact aspect of this proposal pretty strong. Of this submission, pretty strong.
It's not clear to me how is my ethnicity related to the research project.
It is not. Okay, it's not related to the research. From the broader impact, from an NSF standpoint, the reason your ethnicity is relevant is because of underrepresentation of your ethnicity in the stream, in the line of work. So NSF wants to make sure, I mean, diversity is really very important to NSF. So NSF sees that there is a gap in terms of, you know, women representation in computer science. There is a gap that certain ethnicities are underrepresented. If those gaps are not met, what is the problem, you think? If those gaps are not filled, we have a serious problem, because what will happen is that those groups will will not see role models and will never explore this direction. So in some sense, computer science is missing out on a huge fraction of the population that could be potential computer scientists because they don't see a path, they don't see role models. For NSF, that's a really big deal. So NSF has interest in funding underrepresented groups. So you fit very well into that slot. The only person who will fit better into that slot than you, or maybe not only person or only group, would be a female minority, female and ethnic minority. Like that's for NSF, it's a jackpot, right? So someone like, for instance, Barbara would be a jackpot for NSF. But you are already a pretty good catch for them.
I guess there's a lot changing subject here. It should be fairly easy to tie this research with multidisciplinary. How would you tie this with multidisciplinary research? I mean, it's easy to connect this to
multidisciplinary. I think that's going to be challenging. You'll have to think out of the box there. I can't really think of anything right away.
The connection with the field of algorithms and how we're making
caching algorithms,
it's direct. It's very evident. But I think it's good to make as many connections as possible, because I think that's one of the
Networking, for instance. I mean, here the obvious trade-off is accessing data locally versus accessing it over the network, right? So how do you model network conjunction and use that sort of a model within the decision making at the software defined storage layer to say, okay, what should I cache this? Is it worth caching this piece of data or not? Or is it better to actually access this piece of data over the network?
Can you think of any industry in particular that would benefit substantially from this approach of storage, so this different type of storage system?
Well, most software industry that uses large amount of storage would benefit from a distributed storage model like this if you can deliver on all the features that storage typically has, right? Which is high performance and high capacity at low cost, support for disaster recovery, support for snapshotting and backup and all of that. Think of it this way. Enterprises already have servers. And what you're saying is that you already have servers. You're just going to use the same servers, right? Except that now we're going to have storage within each of those servers. And by the way, there are companies that are already selling servers with built-in storage. Conventionally, that's not true, right? You have blade servers with very limited amount of local storage under the assumption that storage will be over the network. But now, in this new model, the blade servers would have built-in storage, right? And the enterprises already have everything set up to connect all of these hosts together, right? Except that they had this additional piece, which was network storage that needed to be housed in the data center, connected up to all of these hosts, provisioned and scaled up when needed and such. What you're saying is that with scaling servers, you can also scale storage because each server comes with some storage.
In the case of people who already have a pre-existing infrastructure, what you're doing for them is at the same cost of above the same cost, you're increasing the performance.
You're also building storage capability using approximately the cost of the servers themselves, because now your servers are also capable of storing some data. And because you have lots and lots of servers, pulling together all the storage will provide you, should ideally provide you sufficient storage for all your needs. The other thing is that when you have distributed storage, the other sort of subtle advantage of distributed storage is that you don't have a single point of congestion that a network storage would have. If there is a peak, say all hosts are hitting pretty rapidly on the network storage, then network storage could potentially become a bottleneck. Queues could build up inside the network storage because it's a single entry point, right? But if you're distributed, then that load could be better distributed across all of the hosts that are serving storage.
Like in a peer-to-peer system.
A peer-to-peer system.
Data exactly. Becomes popular. The
right.
rate that we should accept data, it's even higher because
right.
stars making
exactly.
copies of multiple servers.
Exactly. And if you have a system that dynamically replicates based on demand, then your scaling capability is increased even more. Right. So the software-defined storage layer can be very powerful if it is built right. Right. But it would certainly be complex. And that's where the research challenges. So, you know, what sort of complexity is good? What is bad? You know, what choices to make? Should I cache a block or should I not? How many copies should I make? Should I use replication or erasure coding? And those sorts of questions. What sort of consistency model do I support? The consistency model, you could say, well, you know, you want to build a storage system that can support tunable consistency. Could be eventually consistent. One of the things that, you know, you probably want to look at are papers like, you know, Dynamo and Bigtable that we're reading in the storage class. They have some of these ideas already laid out pretty nicely. So that might give you some ideas as well.
There's also this very good paper called Core, describes the system to completely distribute.
Which one?
Core. It's like a distributed hash table, which you could use to build any distributed service.
So, what is it called?
Core.
Cord. Oh, yeah.
Actually,
Cord.
Dynamo borrows many of the concepts
presented. Yeah, the consistent hashing. Yeah, Cord. Yeah, that's from UC Berkeley. Why?
Okay, I think I have many good ideas now to work. So this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go over this recording, and I'm gonna put together an outline with all of that we have described. I'll send it to you, so you can review it. Meanwhile, I'm gonna start working on this. And then if you have any suggestions or changes for this, let me know.
Okay.
To incorporate that.
Yeah, I think the key is to keep it at a high enough level where you're able to touch on the challenges, well, motivation, right? Challenges and also the motivation should address the impact of solving the problem, right? What do you get out of solving the problem? And then, you know, you don't have to go into a lot of details about the solutions themselves. But even touching on some of the difficulties or challenges in solving these, the set of problems that arise, I think that itself should be sufficient.
So you think that on a high level it would be enough to say, we propose doing this,
these are
the benefits of doing it, these are the challenges associated with doing this.
Right, exactly.
Challenges become research opportunities.
Right. And here is something that we've already done. I think, lay out the progression, centralized storage, SSD-based caching, totally distributed storage, right? And lay that out as a progression and say that you've already done some work in the second aspect and you would like to go towards the third for the following reasons. And then talk about the challenges of that third approach. You can have figures if you want, right? In your statement, or that's...
I could, but it's just space. There's not much space there.
Okay, well, let's work on a revision and then we'll see what
happens. Okay, I'll do that. Okay. Well, I guess I'll see you in class. Last class, I deliberately didn't go because whenever this student starts talking, I don't understand anything. And I really, really paid for
it. Right, but I mean, I'm there to kind of monitor what's going on and making sure that everyone understands. And it did turn out that the class was mostly me and the other students talking than him talking. So I think it was a useful class.
Well, I guess I missed a useful class then.
Well, Daniel has been missing multiple classes. I hope he's doing all right.
I don't know. I actually call him and I haven't been able to talk to him.
I see. Okay, well, I hope he's doing okay.